Oh, we're back. This is Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. We are happy to have calls, take your calls if you wish. Call us at 412-621-9728 from off campus or 89728 from on campus. Or you can send electronic mail to bob@leftout.info. So for our next topic today, we'd like to revisit an issue that we have spoken about before on Left Out, but which most definitely bears reconsideration, is the question of Judith Miller's role as a chief propagandist for the neocon interests in the Pentagon at the New York Times. So just to give a little bit of background, first of all, just so you remember, is that Judith Miller's a reporter for the New York Times who was responsible for all of the most sensational pieces that the Times published on, you know, page A1 above the fold in the run-up to the Iraq War, in particular propagating stories which have all turned out to be bogus about, for example, Iraq's acquisition of aluminum tubes for the purposes of building a nuclear enrichment device, and various stories about weapons of mass destruction both before and after the war, in particular after the, the fall of Baghdad. And after the fall of Baghdad, you may recall that there was a team called Met Alpha. I'm not sure what that stands for, but it's some acronym whose job was to be looking for the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And they spent a good long while looking around, and of course there was nothing to be found. But Judith Miller was the one and only reporter from the U.S. or at all, the one and only reporter who was embedded with the Met Alpha team, or should I say impeded as part of the Met Alpha team. And her job there was to serve as a mouthpiece for Met Alpha. And so this went on for quite a number of months. We all know what happened here, and we had the report back to Congress and so forth. Of course, there's nothing there, and many of us on the left and many on the right as well, on the real right, predicted that this would be the case. You get people like, for example, Ray McGovern, who I can assure you was a Republican, lifelong Republican, as a CIA operative.
But he knew that.
But he knew this was all bogus. You know, there are many CIA people who were coming out and saying that, and saying openly that, look, hey, I my whole life I've been a Republican, so it's not even a left-right issue. It's a question of whether you've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the neocons or not. So this is Judith Miller's background. If you look in the stories, Judith Miller authored all of these stories, and about a year ago, an electronic mail was leaked from within the New York Times, in which Miller said that the primary source for all of the headlines that she had authored in the run-up to the war was Ahmad Shalabi, who now we all know about Ahmad Shalabi, right? He's is a felon who has been convicted of major bank fraud in Jordan. In fact, can't go there because I think he's under a 20-year prison sentence.
Well, why don't they just send him back to Jordan?
They should just deposit him in Jordan. Anyway, so Judith Miller, clearly was, was reporting the story the way the Pentagon wanted told. So the question that has been floating around for quite some time is, what's the scoop with this? And there are several aspects of this story. One is, who is Judith Miller and what's her angle in all of this? And second of all is, why is the New York Times publishing this stuff?
And even after they published it, they haven't, until just a week ago, there's been absolutely no response to the fact that these stories were completely bogus.
Completely bogus.
And look for all the world like pure propaganda pieces, just published at exactly the right moment that they were necessary to allow the country to go to war, like right before the votes in Congress, right before other things that were happening.
Very obviously coordinated, so, if you paid close attention to what was going on with the timings and so on, the statements that were made.
Yeah. So up until a week ago, there has been no...
And
no,
so the New York Times has not acknowledged
no
any of
acknowledgement
this.
That anything
no letters
was wrong.
To the editor were published, even though I myself had written one. I had written to at the time it was Howell Raines, who was the managing editor of the New York Times. I wrote to him at the time after the Jason Blair affair, when you recall was a reporter for the New York Times on domestic affairs, who turned out to have been falsifying all of his pieces. And I wrote to Howell Raines, and after that said, you have another Jason Blair problem, and it's Judith Miller, and here's why. Of course, I didn't expect to get get a response, and I didn't. But many people have been complaining bitterly about Judith Miller and her role as a propagandist, and yet nothing has ever come of it from the Times until last week, as Danny just mentioned. Last week on page, I think it was on Wednesday,
page A10
of the New York Times, there was an article published by the editors, really authored by Bill Keller, who took over from Howell Raines as the managing editor of the New York Times. He published an article called The Times and Iraq, which I urge our, if you haven't already read, I urge our listeners to read, because it actually calls attention to the fact that, well, you know what, a lot of the stories that we published, this is Bill Keller speaking, in the run-up to the war in Iraq, have turned out to be false, completely bogus. And not only have they turned out to be bogus, but that the Times failed to exercise what would be even considered the most rudimentary fact-checking and due diligence to follow up on the veracity of sources, to publish other perspectives that.
But it wasn't. He didn't say the stories were completely bogus. He wasn't nearly as forthright as that. It was all kind of couched in careful language. In fact, the first paragraph says, "Well, we've reread all the articles, and there's much great reporting to be."
Yes, that is true.
So it wasn't quite as.
It wasn't quite the mea culpa that you would expect. I mean, you would expect the Times to be saying the New York Times regrets the loss of life that was caused by our errors.
But the worst thing is it said they certainly didn't say that. Yeah, it said that the regret we didn't more carefully. What was the word? Carefully fact check the articles or something. Oh gosh, I can't remember the word he used. The one word. Anyway, sorry.
Uh-huh. So the point is there was a rather, although there was at least some admission, okay, that this is that something is going on. And on the online edition, you'll do well to try to find this article in the online edition. But I'll give you a hint: it's in the international section. If you look under their coverage of Iraq, there's a link to it at least there today. But it's not so obvious. It never appeared on the homepage of the NewYorkTimes.com.
Right.
But there is a link in that article as well. To a sampling of the coverage, in which they have links to all of these articles. Now, one of the points that comes out here is that if you look at all of these articles, well, the ones that matter are all written by Judith Miller and possibly a co-author. But in the actual in this article by Keller, it doesn't mention her at all by name. So you can have a look at those, and I urge you to do so. We on Left Out have been ranting about this for quite some time, and it's worthwhile to review just exactly what that situation was and to realize that something is seriously amiss here. Now, there's been some further developments on this that are also worth pointing out. So the New York Times had published this article. Now, in the other bit of background is in the wake of the Jason Blair affair, the New York Times instituted something called the public editor, in which they hired Daniel Okrent, who is a writer, to serve as what is called the public editor, which is an independent ombudsman to mediate disagreements or disputes or criticisms between the reader, the Times, and its readers. And Okrent, to my extreme annoyance, when he took over, immediately washed his hands of the whole Judith Miller affair by saying, well, this was before my time. I'm not going to deal with anything before my time.
Did he send a response to us about that? Or no, it was on a web page.
It might have been on the web page. Yeah,
people complained about the Miller thing, and he says, well, I can't go into that. It's before my time.
Before my time. But to my delight, I was rather annoyed about that, and it was part of my coming to the conclusion that, well, this would never be properly dealt with by the Times. But in the same week, this past Sunday, the following week technically, but a few days later, after the publication of that article, rather lame article, by Bill Keller in the Times, then we have an article by Daniel Okrent as the public editor, really publishing a scathing review of this issue. And here, I have to say, I'm really quite happy that he for example, names names, or should I say names, names. Name?
Yeah.
Because there's really only one involved. And mentions that he had spoken to editor. He said on Tuesday he had told Bill Keller that he was going to write about this issue, and Keller told him that his own investigation was underway. And the thing, why is this coming out now? Not completely clear. One may be that with all the shifting sands in this whole affair, one of the most recent developments is the apparent distancing of the U.S. government from Ahmad Jalabi. It's not clear to me what's going on.
So now it's
with
okay for
that.
Them to come out.
So somehow
blame it on him
that
or
seemed to be the decisive influence. So it's not very clear why now, but for some reason, in any case, Akhrent has come out, and we also have a link in the Left Out webpage. His article is also there, and I think says a lot more of the things that need to be said. So, for example, here's a quotation from Akhrent saying, the apparent flimsiness of, quotes, illicit arms kept to leave of war, an Iraqi scientist said to assert, a headline by Judith Miller, April 21st, 2003, as Akhrent says, was no less noticeable than its prominent front page display. The ensuing sequence of articles on the same subject, when Miller was embedded with a military unit, that's Med Alpha, searching for a WMD, constituted an ongoing minuet of startling assertion followed by understated contradiction. And so this is just an example of the type of thing that that Akhrent is saying, and I think really needs to be said. He also goes on and says, you know, but the failure in this is that, he says, pinning this on Miller alone is both inaccurate and unfair, and he gives several reasons for that. But the major reason, which I think makes sense, is that it takes two to tango, right? That Judith Miller can write these stories, but someone decided to put them on the New York, on the front page.
Yeah.
And the question is, you know, who did this and yeah. why?
I have a couple of observations.
Please.
About it.
Yeah.
One is that... We've harped on this subject in this today and a couple of other times and Left Out, and you might question it and say, well, why are they harping about some minor articles in some paper in another city, and what's the big deal? You know, what's the thing? Well, it's because these articles, I believe, were key to convincing everybody that this war was necessary. And
oh, yeah.
It's not just just a run of the mill article with some errors in it. It's really what it seems to be a blatant propaganda committed on the part of this writer Judith Miller, as well as the editors who somehow allowed this to happen and get into the paper. And the New York Times is regarded as this liberal bastion. So when they write an article that supports the war
yeah.
by this conservative or. Not conservative, but this Republican president, mm-hmm. that is more powerful than, you know, Rush Limbaugh saying we should go to war.
Absolutely.
And in fact, this was used, these articles were used by, for example, Dick Cheney on Meet the Press to go and wave this article. Even the New York Times says we have to do something. He has nuclear weapons. So that's the first point, that these were not just run-of-the-mill articles, but, you know, key.
No, these were crucial. I mean, they're picked up in the New York Times news
in
service
many other
around
papers,
the world.
Yeah.
I mean, these were considered authoritative information, when in fact it was just part of the echo chamber that had been constructed by the neocons in the White House and in the Pentagon to formulate their plan for propaganda leading up to the war.
So Miller, it turns out if you look more carefully at her background, you find out that, well, she's got connections to the whole neocon cabal that got us into this mess, okay? So, for example, there's a group called the Benador Associates, which is a speakers bureau, and they feature speakers such as Richard Pearl, A.M. Rosenthal, Douglas Pipes.
Wolsey. Richard Pipes.
Richard
yes.
Pipes, right.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, you know, cabal of the neocons, and... In fact, Judith Miller was a member of the Benador Associates until 2002,
right
when the big propaganda campaign started. She was on their website, listed as one of their members. Then they cut her off. They got her off the website, and she resigned, or she disavowed herself from any connection to Benador.
Right.
And you'll find on our webpage, you'll find a link to a copy of the old webpage, the old Benador webpage about Judith Miller, and showing that she was, in fact, a member of the Benador Associates.
Right. We tracked this down through archive.org. You can look for yourself that in September 2002, Judith Miller was listed as one of the experts, Benador Associates. And then by November of 2002, she had been removed. And when, through the Village Voice, Cynthia Kotz, who's a reporter for the Village Voice, called her to ask her about this and other connections also with Pipes's Middle East Forum. She also has intimate connections there. And asked her about this. She said, well, it was a mistake. Her name was listed there by mistake. Well, I don't know exactly what kind of mistake it was, and maybe the mistake was that it wasn't supposed to be so public. I don't really know. But the point is that Benador was formed in order to provide an outlet for propaganda for the neocons to push their case for the war. In fact, one of the other associates, one of the other people, experts at Benador, is Laurie Mulrohi, who is a co-author with Judith Miller, a book on the case against Iraq. So the point is this, is that the New York Times, both itself directly and indirectly through Daniel Ockrent, has started to embrace the falsehoods that were perpetrated by Judith Miller. But what neither one of them addresses is the apparent explanations of why this is happening.
Yeah.
And so what we've done, Danny and I have done, and some other friends as well, is to try to track down some of these connections. Now, admittedly, merely being an expert, a speaker for the Benador Associates, is not in itself, first of all, there's nothing, you know, that is a perfectly fine thing to do for someone to do if they wish to do it. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But the thing is, it establishes a close connection between her and these various characters behind the Project for New American Century,
right.
New American Century, and the people who work in the Pentagon in the run-up to the war. And when you take it together with that and her connection with the Middle East Forum through Richard Pipes, her selection as the one and only embedded reporter for Med Alpha, numerous
other
stories
themselves, looking at
the
content of the stories themselves.
Yeah. You know, there's a picture here. And the picture is that I would say, in my personal opinion, she was the number one mouthpiece for the neocon interests within the Pentagon and the White House for the propaganda in support of the war, the attack on Iraq. Now, there's more discussion about this that we've made available to you on the website, leftout.info, including links to a recent exchange in the New York Review of Books, which is worth looking at, and also an article in New York Metro Magazine that appeared today or yesterday, very recently, giving a little bit more background about Judith Miller's career and these connections. So if you're interested in any of this, I recommend that you follow up some of these links. And if you'd like, you're welcome to call us at 412-621-9728 or send mail to Bob at leftout.info. And we'll take a short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah.